the prophets of the Old Testament, it says, you know what they did? They would say things and then they would search carefully, trying to see, when is this going to be fulfilled? How is this going to come about? And so they were doing that. It, you remember, the prophets are under divine influence of the Holy Spirit. So they're foretelling things, and they want to know, when is this, how's this going to happen? And they want to be able to say, hey, this is when that came true. And it's Peter in verse 12 and these other inspired men of his day, they're actually the ones that are doing what? They're revealing their fulfillment. So that's why you think about in Acts chapter 1, when Peter says, okay, he's thinking, we lost Judas, and we've got this passage that says that office needs to be filled, so we need to find somebody and select them. What did he do? Here's the prophecy. We're going to solve that. What have you done? You've got the prophecy. You've got the confirmation of that prophecy when it happens. Now that is complete. So God has foretold, and it is these men that are making that connection for us because they're under the divine influence. Now, they're doing this just as Jesus had promised. You remember in John chapter 14 and verse 26, they would be guided by the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm leaving. But that's okay. When I leave, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is going to come. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to bring things to your remembrance. That's why he's called the Comforter. I'm leaving. And then he also tells them, the Helper and the Comforter, he cannot come until I leave. But when I leave, he will come. So what happens on Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came to these men. So you've got that foundation again of here's prophecy, not predictions, but it is here's what God has to say. And we can look and say, oh, that happened, and now we got it confirmed. So let's spend the rest of our time looking at Jesus and the prophetic words concerning him. For example, look at Matthew chapter 11. We were looking at this morning in our Bible study, we were looking at some of the miracles that Jesus did. And we were focusing in on, well, what kind of lesson are we supposed to learn around that miracle? So here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now it came to pass when Jesus had finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? So John's in prison, John the Baptist, and he says, are you the one, or are we looking for somebody else? Notice Jesus says to these disciples he sent, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Wouldn't it have been easier, you would think, to say, just go tell him yes. Yes, I am the one, John. Do you remember you said, behold, the Lamb of God? So there's questions, was this for his disciples' benefit, his benefit? What I want you to see is this. The miracles proved that he was the Messiah, but this was foretold. Look at Isaiah 35. So now we're going back and we're looking at, okay, what did the prophets say that God put in his mouth and revealed about the Messiah? That when we see it happening, we now have what? Prophecy confirmed. Which does what? That says, this is my beloved son. Hear him. He is the Messiah. So Isaiah 35, and in verse 5 it says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. You remember, you recall in our sermon last week about the blind man in John 9? You remember what he said? Well, who do you say he is? He's a prophet. He's a prophet. Because he can't do these things unless God's with him. So one of the things that would show the world that Jesus was the Messiah was a prophetic passage that would be pointing to the Messiah being able to do these things. Now go back to why would Jesus say, you go tell John what you're seeing and what you see. These miracles are happening. Because what are the miracles doing? Confirming that the Messiah will do these things. I'm doing these things. John, what are you supposed to conclude? You are the one. You are the one. What about him being born in Bethlehem? You remember in Matthew chapter 2 when we were looking at the coming of the wise men. So back in Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 through 6. Let's look at that again. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the Great, or Herod the King, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born, King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the King heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophets, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Wise men come from the east. They've seen a star. They want to know, where's the king? That troubles Herod the Great. So much so that he's going to say, I got to kill these babies. But he says, what did he do? It says specifically he called together the chief priests and the scribes. Who's that? Well, that's the religious rulers, right? The scribes that know the scriptures. And what's the question he asked them? He says, where is the Christ to be born? Well, where are they going to find that answer? They went to Micah and his prophecy. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, they didn't have chapters, but they had these that they read in the synagogue, right? So they would have said, the prophet Micah said he would be born in Bethlehem. There's the prophetic word. You recognize this is over 700 years before Jesus is born. We've got that whole intertestament time, 400 years, 700 plus years before this prophecy comes true. Was Jesus born in Bethlehem? When he was, what happened? The prophetic word from the prophet is now 100% true. It's confirmed. Not like a prediction, not like that man that wrote a book and a lot of things were interestingly close. This was God foretelling of things that when it was confirmed, now you can say, well, the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. Well, who was that? Oh, that was baby Jesus. That his name is Jesus. You see, so now you have the power of the prophecy being confirmed. What about, and we'll spend the rest of the time about Jesus' death. And as we continue our study, we're going to see where Jesus, in our study of following the Messiah, he emphatically starts telling them, I have to go to Jerusalem and die. He's emphatic about that. So I want you to think about two things as we look at this passage. One, Jesus knew of his death because of prophecy. Now, what I want you to let kind of sink in from that is Jesus knew what was going to happen to him and the immense suffering that he was going to undergo. Why? Because the prophets wrote about it. So he knew this is going to be painful, which helps us again when we think about Gethsemane and how he is in anguish. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. This is where Peter confesses in verse 18, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." "Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, look at, if you would, with me at verse 18. "And I say also to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Peter has just confessed that he is the Christ. Now look at verse 21. "And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and be killed and raised the third day." So he began to tell them and prepare them. "I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I am going to be killed, but I'm going to come back the third day." Now, I want you to also consider that Jesus' second point is his love for his Father and for us was greater than his immense suffering. Because to know, think about you knowing that you are going to die this way and it is going to be terrible. Now factor in that Jesus did that willingly, which is why he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend." Knowing that he's going to do this, it's going to happen. You remember he also said, "It's been given to him, I can lay it down or I can take it up. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience." Jesus willingly laid down his life. Why would he do this? Knowing all the things that's going to transpire, he did it because of his great love for his Father and his immense love for us. And that was greater than anything that he thought he would be enduring in suffering. All right, so with those two things, let's talk about Isaiah 53 for just a moment. Isaiah 53. So when we go back to this passage is loaded. We're just going to look at verse 3. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we did, as it were, hide our faces, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." Well, John chapter 1 and verse 11, what was the response of his own people? "He came to his own did not receive him." So the passage, he was despised and rejected by men. He was. Prophesied, fulfilled, confirmed. Jesus fulfilled that. He is the Messiah. His death confirmed that. Look at verse 6 of chapter 50 of Isaiah. Isaiah 50 and verse 6, "I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." That was written, Jesus knew that's about him, and he hasn't died. Now, if I read that, and I'm thinking, they're going to strike me, pluck out my beard, spit on me, bring me to shame. Brother Gary, you didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm going to let them do that to me? You see, you know that, and you got to plug through that, and you're going to fulfill that. And so he was despised. And what that means is he was considered to be a vile and worthless person. Imagine, you're worthless. You're just a worthless person. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 67. When you look at passages around the cross, Matthew 26 and verse 67. It reads, "Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands." So, if you slap somebody when you use the palm of your hand. So they're whacking him, spitting on him. He was rejected. And so bad was the insult that he was even called Beelzebub. Despised. Psalm 22, verse 14 to 18 is another passage. It is a clear picture in prophecy of a man who is being brutally treated. So Psalm 22, this is a messianic psalm. So if you'll turn there with me and maybe make some notes. But in Psalm 22, verse 14. Now, again, think about that. This is Jesus. This has been written about the death that he's going to undergo. And this is about him, and he knows it's about him. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaw. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. A clear picture of a man being crucified and in so much pain. It's a picture of no strength, thirsty, bones that are protruding as the body is stretched out. And it's like you can go rib 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the picture. Piercing of the hands and the feet. Even this very obscure detail that's found in the fact that they divided his garments, but they cast lot for his tunic, which is fulfilled in John chapter 19, verse 23 through verse 23 and 24. Just as it was prophesied. Right here, they divided my garments, and among them they cast lots for his clothing. They looked at that one-piece tunic and said, oh, that's too good for us to partial out. Let's cast lots and see who gets the whole thing. You imagine the guy who got's like, oh, I got it. Woo, I'm the winner. You wonder, did he wear that around when this was all through? It was all foretold. His words from the cross are foretold in chapter 22 and verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Even what he would say, those are words that David penned. What were they? They were a light in a dark room that was proving and shining a light that when that was fulfilled, the people would be able to say, like that centurion, truly this was the Son of God. Prophecy, fulfilled prophecy. He died a horrible death, despised by his own people. The very people who God chose to, the people that would bring Christ to us. And Daniel 9 and verse 26 wrote that this Messiah would be cut off from this earth. He'd be cut off. And so Jesus died. So you have in Psalm 16, you have a psalm of resurrection. Psalm 16, verse 8 through 11 reads, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of light in your presence and the fullness of joy, and at your right hand my pleasures evermore. Well, you know that's prophetic, because what happens on Pentecost in the sermon? Peter uses that to say, Jesus is not here. Jesus has come. The tomb is empty. Jesus has come forth from the grave. And he's using this text, he's quoting this text in Acts chapter 2, verse 25 to 27, proving for the audience, this is the Messiah. This passage that you know Jesus just fulfilled it. Prophecy confirmed. You have the sure, firm word of prophecy to show that Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus was resurrected on the third day. And as we close, we've only touched the hem of the garment. I mean, we have just, I mean, there's so many prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. We just kind of looked some around his death. The prophetic word confirms Jesus was, is, and shall ever be the Savior of the world, whose blood was shed and made the payment for sin. My sin, your sin. He did that for us. God did that because he loves us. Jesus did this because he loves us. And so what do I do? Look at Romans chapter 6 by way of invitation. Look at now the things that we've talked about. Look at the picture that Paul paints here. Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He came forth from the grave. He is alive. He has conquered death. He has crushed the serpent's head. And what that means is when you die, you are just sleeping. You will live and your soul is eternal. God gave you that, breathed into you. And you have that hope. Where will you spend your eternity? And Paul takes that imagery of Jesus at the cross. He says, or do you not know? Listen, I'm going to say this to you as Paul wrote it. Do you not know? Do you not know? He's looking at his audience as Christians. Do you not know this? As many of us as were baptized into Christ, I was baptized into Christ. Were you baptized into Christ? Well, you were baptized into his death. When you were baptized, you were baptized into his death. Therefore, what is it? Well, we were buried with him. We were buried with Jesus through baptism into his death. Well, I missed that. I didn't get buried over there next to Jesus. We're talking about what? We're talking about a water baptism, a watery grave, and immersion. Baptism is immersion. Do you not know that you were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, Jesus came out of the grave. How do I know that? Prophetic word. How do I know that? Eyewitnesses account. People saw him. He lives. He was raised from the dead. And even so, what is it? We've been baptized with him in his death. He says, we'll walk in newness of life. You come out of the grave, what are you supposed to have? A new life, born again. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, what is baptism? It's a uniting, just like Jesus went down into the ground, came up out. You go down into the water and you come out. You're planted in that. You're united with him in that. Likeness of his death, certainly also, what's going to happen? The likeness of his resurrection. You do this, you got the likeness of his resurrection. Well, what happened? What happened? I don't understand. I had a man, I said, what do you do with this passage? Who believed that all you have to do is believe. He said, oh, that's a pretty picture of baptism. It's more than that. The old man was crucified with him. But I was already saved. No, baptism. You're planted in that likeness. It's like you and Jesus in his likeness, you do this. The old man was crucified with him, the body of sin might be done away with. When is the body of sin done away with? When I just say I believe in Jesus? Not according to this. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. You come up out of the water and that's not you anymore. You don't be an instrument of unrighteousness. He goes on to say in verse 18, you be an instrument of righteousness, not unrighteousness. And he said to his audience, don't you know that this is what you did? That's who we are. For he who has died has been freed from sin. You do that and you're freed from sin. No wonder the eunuch said, look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And what did he do after he'd done that? He went on his way rejoicing. You might be here this morning and you can obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and you can go on your way rejoicing. A new day, March the 29th, your birthday. That day can and should be more important than the day you were physically born. And you can go home rejoicing. We can help you do that if you're a child of God and things are amiss. And we don't want to make this in vain. We don't want to be that person that's going, oh, I forgot that's what I'm supposed to, who I'm supposed to be. I forgot what I did. If that's where you're at, can we pray with you and for you? Help you in any ways. Together we stand and sing.